KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have fog and 59 degrees under cloudy skies. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our weather forecast is calling for that fog to eventually burn off and skies to become partly cloudy, a high of 73. In the news, at least a couple of area school districts, other than the CAM school district I mentioned last hour, will hold their regular monthly school board meetings this evening. In Griswold, the board meeting gets underway at 5:30 in the central office of the middle school high school building. They'll start off with a 2017-18 budget amendment hearing, which includes a presentation of the proposed amendment and public comment. Afterward, the board will hold a hearing with regard to the instructional support levy, which includes a presentation of a resolution of participation. And old business includes an update, if available, from KPE Architects and Estes Construction with regard to the district's facility improvements and action of approving a technology plan. New business includes approving the aforementioned 2017-18 budget amendment and ISL resolution, as well as the following for the 2018-19 school year: nutrition prices, registration fees, activity pass fee, fuel bid specs, technology support bid specs, and a boost for families' preschool tuition grant. The Audubon School Board meeting gets underway this evening at 7 o'clock in the high school boardroom. They, too, will hold a public hearing on an amended 2017-18 budget, which is standard practice, I should mention, and later on act on approving the amendment, along with pay increases for employees not represented by collective bargaining, school fees and lunch prices for FY 2019, accepting milk and bread bids, action on the boiler room roof project, and other administrative matters. A meeting seeking public opinion on work being done to revitalize the riverfront in Council Bluffs will be held later this month. The public meeting is set for May 30th at the Council Bluffs Community Hall. That project is part of a larger plan to improve the riverfront on both the Council Bluffs side of the Missouri River and in Omaha, Nebraska. For those who are unable to attend the meeting, all the information will be available on the meeting on a website, www.riverfrontrevitalization.com. A national team of experts is working to develop a master plan for areas in and around River's Edge, from north of Hannafin Park to the Union Pacific Bridge in Council Bluffs, as well as Gene Leahy Mall, Heartland of America Park, and Lewis and Clark Landing in Omaha. The Atlantic Kiwanis Saturday afternoon paid tribute to those in law enforcement during an event at the Atlantic City Park near the Avenue of Flags. Kiwanis member Randy Moss said they were there to present members of the Atlantic Police Department and Iowa State Patrol and officers, or rather a state trooper, I should say. A representative with the Cass County Sheriff's Office that was unable to attend, Steve Green, whose father was with the Iowa Highway Patrol, later called the state patrol, said,
"We, the Kiwanis of Atlantic, would like to thank you for your service and your sacrifice to keep us safe and allow us to leave our homes and take a walk anytime we want. That's so important for us here in Atlantic, it is in Cass County and in Southwest Iowa. It's all due to what you guys do."
Green said also,
"We would also like to thank your families for the long hours you work, and also for the interruptions of the family life when things happen. I grew up with my dad being a state trooper, and I knew if the phone rang and when supper was going on, he was gone. And that happens all the time to the patrol, the sheriff's department, the police department. When something's going on, they need manpower, they're going to call you out. And you're willing to do it, and we want to thank you and thank your families for that."
The Kiwanis' Dave Hancock presented Trooper Kyle Mass with a thin blue line flag.
It symbolizes the line of law enforcement. The blue represents that against the bad guys in society and those of us who are being protected by our law enforcement agencies.
Last year, the Kiwanis gave a flag to the Atlantic Police Department. Steve Green also presented Trooper Mass and Atlantic police officers with certificates of appreciation for the officers and reserves. Police Sergeants Dustin Pekin and Spencer Walton were on hand to receive the certificates. Officials of the Creston Police Department say 49-year-old Brian Ward of Creston was arrested at around 8:10 p.m. Sunday. Ward was taken into custody for OWI second offense and for driving while license suspended. He was being held in the Union County Jail on a $3,000 bond. And at around 9:40 a.m. Sunday, a Creston man who resides in the 700 block of West DeVoe reported to police that his cell phone was taken from his porch sometime during the overnight hours of May 19th and 20th. Loss was estimated at $50. Authorities have charged a South Central Iowa man after dozens of severely neglected horses and two horse carcasses were found on his property. The Des Moines Register reports that nearly 60 animals were found last Thursday night at the Lemon Tree Welsh Horse Stable in Earlham. Nine of the horses were taken in dire health to the Animal Rescue League headquarters in Des Moines. The rest remain on the stable grounds. One horse was found with 21-inch hooves that had curled back into her front ankles. Many of the horses were malnourished with visible ribs and hip bones and extreme hair loss. Jimmy Lee Lemon, co-owner of Lemon Tree Welsh, has been charged with 3 counts of livestock neglect and 2 counts of failure to dispose of animal remains. An Iowa man has been sentenced to jail for his role in a fatal traffic accident that took place in eastern Nebraska. The Omaha World-Herald says Michael Bauman of Rock Rapids, Iowa, was sentenced Thursday in Plattsmouth to 250 days in jail. He was also fined $1,000, and his driver's license was revoked for a year. Bauman had pleaded no contest to misdemeanor vehicular homicide. Authorities say he was driving south on Nebraska Highway 43, south of Eagle, Nebraska, at around 9 a.m. on July 14, 2017. When he turned his semi-trailer left into the path of a northbound motorcycle. 47-year-old Chris Badman died in the collision. He had lived in South Bend, Nebraska. Area law enforcement agencies and officials of the governor's Traffic Safety Bureau say that beginning today, May 21st, and until June 3rd, state and local law enforcement agencies across the U.S. will be stepping up enforcement with a Click It or Ticket campaign. This concentrated effort will be on the lookout for motorists who aren't wearing their seatbelts. Click It or Ticket is not just about writing traffic ticket, authorities say. It's about saving lives. In 2016, the last year in which the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has information, there were 10,428 unbuckled passenger vehicle occupants killed in crashes in the U.S. That number is more than the population of Grimes, Iowa, at a 99.5% of Iowa's towns and cities. According to NHTSA, 48% of the passenger vehicle occupants killed in crashes in 2016 were unrestrained. Almost twice as many males were killed in crashes, and they had a lower seatbelt use rate. It's even worse at night when 56% of the fatalities were unrestrained. Patrick Hoy, the bureau chief of Iowa's Governor Traffic Safety Bureau, says if you have a friend or family member who does not buckle up when they drive, please encourage them to make it a habit. It's such a simple thing to do and it could very well save their life. The Iowa Department of Public Safety and Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau remind you that seatbelts save lives and everyone, front seat and back, child and adult, needs to remember to buckle up every trip, every time. Iowa Republicans say it was essential to pass $2.8 billion in tax cuts, in part due to federal changes. But those state reductions might not be implemented for years under a plan awaiting the governor's signature. Eliminating so-called federal deductibility along with raising the state's standard deduction won't happen until the state reaches a certain amount of tax revenue and shows significant growth in the previous year. Those changes could happen no sooner than 2023. Iowa has only met the necessary growth rate in 11 of the past 19 years. The state would need 5 straight years of significant growth to trigger the cuts in 2023. Other provisions of the bill, including an initial income tax cut and corporate tax reductions, would happen regardless of economic conditions. Leaders of an initiative to help startup companies involved in agriculture have identified the program's sophomore class. Megan Volstadt, executive director of the Iowa Agri-Tech Accelerator, says they receive many great applicants from around the country and around the world.
Agriculture is everywhere. It's the base of so many communities and industries. The innovations that we see, of course, can affect agriculture in any location. The customers are everywhere for these innovations.
5 early-stage ag tech companies were selected by a board of directors comprised of agribusinesses that invest in the accelerator program.
Solving a legitimate problem in the industry and with a solution that really resonates with the industry and the need that's there.
The 5 ag tech startups chosen to participate in the 100-day accelerator are Osceola, Iowa-based U.S. design consultants, Krobel Corporation of Mankato, Minnesota, Ag Help in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Vaccine based in Baltimore, and Nigerian company Birdpreneur. The program will begin May 29th and conclude on August 30th. The 5 startups will receive intensive mentoring and $40,000 in seed funding. That is a check of the news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.